Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome, everybody, to the program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. This Monday, July the 20th, 2020. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward is sitting in for the effervescent, or did we steal that from Brian Fisher? For Fred Jackson.
I've used effervescent for a long time.
I think two people can be effervescent on our staff.
My wife and kids called me effervescent. No, that wasn't the word. All right, it was a different word. But anyway, yes.
As I said last week, that sounds more like a tree you would plant, doesn't it?
Huh? Yeah. We planted the effervescence right over there by our roses.
By the roses and the pine trees. Chris, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well. I'm in
Have
good
a good
health.
Weekend?
I did, yeah. I tell you, it was one of those, it was a great day of sunshine on Saturday. Really hot, though, but that's the case in Mississippi this time of year. And, you know, it began like one of those epic Saturdays where you have all these plans to do all kinds of stuff, and then neither mower you own works, and you have to swallow your pride and ask your father-in-law to come over here and help you get the mowers going. And then, you know, by the end of the day, I've done nothing because
Where are you going with this, Chris?
Yeah, I don't think Tim was really wanting your life story here.
It was a rough Saturday, but I you know, I managed
to get
some stuff done.
I'm just teasing.
I took an effervescent and went to bed.
My son Wesley and my daughter Riley, they live in the same neighborhood with us. Walker chose to live away from the family.
To move away.
He's more independent minded, huh? He moved 5 miles away from the something like that. Anyway. So, Wesley's mower quit. This is about 3 weeks ago. So, his mower quit, right? So, he comes down to borrow our mower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he takes our mower down there to his yard, brings it back to us. Allison's using our mower, and then our mower goes out.
Uh-oh.
So, we got
That's a tough
Wesley's
yard.
Mower, then our mower goes out, and Allison borrows my daughter's mower. Mow our yard because our yard's mower was that quit working because Wesley was using it. Are you following me here?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then
Riley's mower didn't go out.
Mower didn't go out.
Yeah.
But it was a zero turn, and Allison had to learn how to. You can tell I don't do any yard work.
I
do yard work I'm told to do. But other than that, I don't.
I know you have to get the pine straw out, you know,
in
the spring.
I pick up sticks, limbs. When a storm comes, I'm the yard boy.
Yeah.
But, I don't. So, anyway, I know nobody cares about that, but it's just like musical chairs with our family's lawnmowers, you know. You never want to develop an attitude where you don't want your family to be able to borrow your lawnmower.
Right.
But after a while, you do go, okay, get your own lawnmower fixed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Pay your own way. All right? You're listening to Today's Issues. Lot to talk about. Let's get it started here, Chris.
Yes. Well, if you are planning on doing some shopping today at virtually any big national retailer or big name retailer, period, expect to wear a mask if you go inside. Walmart, Target, CVS, Walgreens, Kroger, Aldi, Starbucks, Best Buy, Costco, you name it, they're all requiring masks for customers coming into their businesses. This is even in places where masks are not already required by some government official or legislative body, things of that sort. And, you know, the stated reason for this is that a lot of these retailers are of the opinion this is going to combat the spread of COVID-19 and help us flatten the curve even further or maybe get the number of cases back down. The issue of masks was an issue.
You don't sound convinced, Chris.
Well, I'm just sharing the story. I know a lot of people are of differing opinions on the mask.
Oh,
including Dr. Anthony Fauci.
They really are, yes. Wear it, don't wear it, wear it, don't wear it, and then I'm on a cover of InStyle not wearing a mask. But I digress. The issue of masks was made an issue yesterday on Fox News Sunday. They had an exclusive interview with President Trump and host Chris Wallace. Asked President Trump whether he would issue a national mandate for masks. Clip two.
Will you consider a national mandate that people need to wear masks?
No, I want people to have a certain freedom, and I don't believe in that, no. And I don't agree with the statement that if everybody wear a mask, everything disappears. Hey, Dr. Fauci said don't wear a mask. Our Surgeon General, terrific guy, said don't wear a mask. Everybody was saying don't wear a mask. All of a sudden, everybody's got to wear a mask. And as you know, masks cause problems too. With that being said, I'm a believer in masks. I think masks are good. But I leave it up to the governors. Many of the governors are changing. They're more mask into. They like the concept of masks. But some of them don't agree.
What do you guys think? Like,
I think that's a perfect answer.
Yes, I agree.
Huh?
I think, and here's part of the frustration. Here's part of the frustration for me, and I think part of the frustration for a lot of Americans is that because the so-called experts, and I'm doing air quotes mm-hmm. here, they don't know what to say from, it seems like, from week to week. Everybody else is confused. So he mentioned, you know, we talked about Dr. Fauci. President talked about that as well. He's changed his opinion. Was he the director of the National Institutes of Health?
Something of that sort.
Yes. So
who was?
Fauci.
Fauci.
And now he heads up the task force.
It was a similar type of organization, yeah. I think.
Similar scope.
Leading health expert in the country.
And he's heading up the president's task force, yeah, right, on coronavirus. Right. He's changed his mind. We've had all kinds of medical professionals have read articles, seen videos where they're saying, no, unless you're in a hospital, and giving care to people with it and have the right kind of masks, these masks are not mm-hmm. helpful. So the thing is, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know. You know, I'm getting mixed signals from everybody.
A couple things. One is I do believe that each corporation has a right to, require their customers to wear a mask if that's what they want to do. And then the customer can decide, well, I don't want to go shop there. I'll go shop somewhere where I don't have to wear a mask. So that's freedom that the president was talking about there. I do agree with that. Now, if you watch Dr. Fauci's video from a few months ago, March, I think it was. Now, he's changed his tune, obviously, since mm-hmm. then. But it wasn't just, he was sort of flippant or mocking the idea of wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't he dismissed it, basically. So it is confusing. I mean, he said it may, if I can remember exactly, he said, well, it might make you feel, you may look, see if you can get that. Now, granted, it was early on in the fight against the coronavirus, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to, even health officials, I'm willing to give them some freedom to change their opinion on something or their mind on something if they feel like the circumstances on the ground have changed. I'm not, going to just second guess people all the time. However, as I say, this wasn't when Dr. Fauci, tell me if you find that, Brent, he was saying it doesn't help, really, that you can make you feel better, but it doesn't help unless you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, do we find it?
I got the clip of him saying that masks don't are ineffective.
Okay, now, again, I want to make clear that we're talking about Dr. Fauci from March, mm-hmm. all right? So, but still, let's hear what he had to say then.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Okay, well.
He was talking about as a rule with outbreaks. So this isn't just what he was saying in March. didn't just apply to the coronavirus. It sounded like it applied to any kind of airborne pathogen, that masks are not really helping. You think they are, but they're not. And it also leads to behaviors, adjusting the mask, whatever, fiddling with it, that actually make the situation worse.
Yeah.
So to me, now he has since come back and said, I was telling people not to wear masks because I wanted to make sure that healthcare providers had plenty of them. And when he said that, remember, that was within the last month, I thought, well, then you lied. You lied to the American people.
You need to say that I misled people
on purpose.
For a reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because you wanted healthcare workers to have masks.
I think what he's saying right there is true.
I do too.
Yeah.
Now, he did say it could perhaps stop a droplet or something like this. He didn't dismiss it altogether, but he said it gives people a false sense of security is what he was saying. Right. And it's not, you know, for, I just, and again, this is not thus saith the Lord. I don't think this, is this in the Bible?
No.
Face mask? Huh? What to do about face mask?
Right. It's not.
But I think that, I've only worn face mask when necessary. Had to go to the doctor's office the other day, you know, and they require for a visit, annual visit, and they require you to wear a face mask. No problem.
Right.
You know, no problem. But, and if I want to go to a restaurant, I go to a restaurant that doesn't require you to wear a face mask. But, so if somebody wants to wear a face mask, that's fine. But there are I don't think we should be, based on what Dr. Fauci said right there, you shouldn't be shaming people who don't wear face masks, as long as they're keeping their social distancing from you, because there's just, the science is not absolute on this. Also, I had a dentist friend tell me, he said, listen, you know, he wears the mask, he has to as a dentist and always has, when he's doing work on the patient, 2 feet away from them, i.e. droplets, for example. But then when he gets through doing the work, he takes a mask off, throws it in the garbage can.
Yeah.
Because he said it's not healthy for to be breathing CO2. You know what I'm saying?
Continually.
People get headaches. It's just not good for you. And so this even gets families in arguments over this.
It does.
But I would just say, in the same way that people say to me, well, you should give grace to those who want to wear the face mask, that's fine with me. Absolutely. And I understand people are more vulnerable. They feel more secure with the face mask. They think it's an extra level of protection if they're going to get close to somebody, although the best thing to do is social distance, it seems to me. Stay away from the sneeze, the cough, the air droplets. By distance rather than taking a chance.
Don't shake hands.
But at the same time, I say that, I would ask the people who do wear face masks, you know, don't look at those of us who don't wear face masks like we're killing people.
Right.
You know,
that's been going on. I mean, I don't know any, but you see these stories, people getting shamed in grocery stores, and although now they're going to be forced to wear them to go in.
They're, you know, like I said, I shop at Kroger. If they're going to make you wear a face mask, you know what? Tim can put on a face mask to go inside and shop and get my stuff and leave. Or I can say, no, I'll grow my own garden.
You know, unless you're in Michigan and you can't get
And from what you just said about yard work, that's probably not going to happen, right?
I'll get my fruit and vegetables from others. I'll beg, plead, and borrow. All right. So anyway, let me just say this, too. I know many of you across the country are seeing, and we for the first time here where we live in Tupelo in Northeast Mississippi, I'm hearing of people, maybe you guys that I know, or somebody who knows somebody, family members, who are coming down with this. So it's and a lot of people listening to me around the country are now for the first time experiencing what I've just described here, whereas in March and April, basically it was contained to New Orleans, New York, and
Washington.
But it's taken time to sort of, but that's a virus
right
that has no vaccine, if you're going to have people interacting at all, it's going to spread. I mean, is it not inevitable that it's going to spread?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way.
How are you going to stop it?
I don't think there's any way. I mean, this is not the rural America of the 1800s.
Where the Spanish flu wreaked havoc, early 1900s.
I'm just saying, like, if it's Little House on the Prairie, then it's probably not going to spread. But we're talking about highly interactive Western cultures where, unless you want to send us back to 1850, you're going to have interaction, and as a result, you're going to have the spread of a virus, like the flu does every year.
Yeah.
So this begs a question. You know, I keep hearing the left blame President Trump for everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, of course, they've done that for 3.5 years now, whatever like that. But when they say he hasn't done enough to stop the pandemic, I'm going like, what else do you want him to do?
This is from the same group that has been claiming he was going to be Hitler or that he is Hitler, and then they want him to be Hitler and shut everything down.
Yeah, they say he's a dictator, right? That was their criticism. He thinks he's a dictator.
Right.
The same people now want him to be a dictator. They want him to mandate, like, was that Chris Wallace saying, are you going to mandate face masks across the country?
Right.
First of all, I don't think the President of the United States has the power to mandate face masks.
I don't think so either. I think governors are the perfect level of government authority.
They're accountable directly to the people of their state.
They should deal with the situation in their state because, you know what? Wyoming's not the same as New York City or some other place.
Well, this was another thing. I had it. President Trump, to me, could do nothing more than he's already done. He's not... Joe Biden, Barack Obama, nobody could have stopped the virus any more than President Trump has tried to slow it down. And Dr. Fauci said that.
Right.
So it's just the left trying to beat him up. The numbers rise as President Trump does nothing.
Yes.
That's the mantra you hear. And I'm thinking to myself, the numbers were going to rise as long as people interacted with other people in America, the numbers were going to rise. But it's just the left trying to use a... crisis to beat the president up.
Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't blame him for murder hornets. You know,
give it time.
Yes.
Give it time.
Murder hornets arrived and the president did nothing.
It's because
tell folks how they can watch on Facebook or YouTube, Ed. We forgot to mention that.
Well, you can, to your point.
We have a legion of people who like to watch.
A potential audience of millions, frankly, Tim.
Go ahead, Ed.
Okay, so if you want to watch the program, if you want to watch us interact on this radio program, you can watch it on Facebook or YouTube. You simply search for Today's Issues and click through, and you can see our smiling faces. You can see me when I do air quotes, you know.
Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues.
Yeah, right.
And we live video stream there, and we post the stories that we're talking about on our Facebook page. Yes, Chris?
Well, I was going to say this, talking about hammering Trump for the numbers and whatnot. Chris Wallace did make an attempt to do that yesterday as well. Clip one.
Now, since June, it has gone up, more than doubled. One day this week, 75,000 new cases, more than double.
Chris, that's because we have great testing, because we have the best testing in the world. If we didn't test, you wouldn't be able to show that chart.
But this isn't burning embers, sir. This is a forest fire.
No, but I say flames. We'll put out the flames, and we'll put out, in some cases, just burning embers.
This is a forest fire. What do you think about that? Is that him going editorial, or is that...
Oh, yeah. Pardon me. Yeah, again, what would he have you... Chris Wallace, I would have said, I would do one, two, three that you, President Trump, and you can stop this virus in its tracks. Here's what you do. Right. I would have said, Chris, okay, give me the three things that you would do to stop the virus today.
Yes.
Huh? And then, Chris, when we're through doing those things, i.e. shutting down the economy, and we go back to work, then you're telling me the virus won't come back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh? Right.
So anyway,
well, it's the kind of thing where you
damned if you're the president, damned if you do and damned if you don't.
You cannot win if you're the president. They have beaten this guy mercilessly since he started running, and it escalated when he won. And this is just listen. We have to endure this from now until Election Day, and maybe beyond that if he wins re-election. But there's nothing he can do that will please the left. Chris Wallace, that was just, you know, he has to, you know, he can't just throw softballs. That's what they do on CNN and MSNBC to the left. Chris Wallace wants to be a legitimate journalist, so he pushes back. That's part of his job. And but that's a great point, Tim. I would say, what do you think I should do to stop the virus, since you're a doctor, Chris Wallace? Because I've got some of the best in the world advising me. We're doing all we can inside the parameters of the authority that I have as president, to your point, as to what can the president, what is the president supposed to do? And so what do you think I should do? You're the apparently the expert. What do you think I should do?
Right. Yeah. You called it a fire. What do you call it? A wildfire, forest fire?
Something of that nature.
About the coronavirus. Again, as if that's all, that the president could have stopped it, but he chose not to.
Yeah. Right. If I've learned anything in this pandemic, is that I will never, ever, ever be in public office, because you cannot do, not that I have any plans to leave, although I'm here to serve at the pleasure of President Wildman. But like, I mean, literally, this it's all, it's a very tough gig. And then,
if you know, you're conservative, it is.
It really is. It really is. If you're pro business or pro anything the left doesn't
Well, also you get somebody like former Vice President Biden and people on the left, and people on the right have done this in the past too against left leaning politicians. It's easy to do, right? You sit back, you watch what happens. You wait for an error or a mistake or a bad thing to happen, and then you say, ah, had I been there, I would have done the opposite, which would have prevented that bad thing from happening.
I want to see a journalist ask Joe Biden when he comes when he comes out of his basement, okay? That's a little mean. But when he comes out and does an interview, I want to hear someone say to former Vice President Biden, would you shut down the economy? Would you cause everyone
forever
to stay home?
Until,
and then if he says, yes, I absolutely would, so then Vice President Biden, so if you get elected, you're shutting down, and the virus is still around, you're going to shut down the economy. I mean, I would push.
Yeah, you got
to push him.
That's an answer that needs to be, he needs to give an answer to that instead of just taking pot shots.
Yeah, so you're saying that if President Trump had done this, it would have stopped the virus. So you're saying you will do that. You know, and let's see him do a little dance then.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to say, oh, yeah, I'll shut down the economy. Absolutely, if that's what it takes.
And
he's
now
not going to say
now
that.
Now the Democrats are on the whole back-to-school thing.
Yes. Save our children.
So if one kid gets the coronavirus, then they're going to say, you know, goes into the hospital, they're going to say, see there?
Yeah. Well, we played that clip last week. I forget what it was, ABC News was interviewing all these pediatricians. And remember, they said, so would you, they were interviewing.
Yes, it was an NBC report.
NBC report. Do you have that? Brent's looking for it. And so the question was to all these pediatricians, would you have any problem sending your child to school? Absolutely not. And the reporter was stunned.
Right.
Because all they've been hearing from the left is, well, you got to save these kids.
Yeah.
You can't put them in danger. All these pediatricians, actual doctors, say, "Yeah, send them to school." The danger is not for kids, and the science shows they do not spread the coronavirus. Yeah. So what's the problem here?
Yeah. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, where we have all the answers, as you can tell.
If we don't, we sound like we do.
Yeah. We do try to give some balance to all you hear from the mainstream media is just one way, and that's just Orange Man bad.
Right.
That's good. Night. They got nothing more than that.
Right.
We'll be back in a minute with more of Today's Issues on AFR.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
53 state days in the city of Portland. These wild banshees, demonic screamers, have been destroying the city of Portland.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Have you ever wanted to walk where Jesus walked? That's right, Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're going in March 2021. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have set our dates for our trip, March 16th through the 24th, and we'd love to have you join us for this, for many people, once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land. For more information, just visit the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, we can do that. You need to call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll get that brochure in the mail to you. Again, it's going to be a wonderful time with Christian brothers and sisters from around the country as we go and see Israel.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
U.S. Navy sailors will once again be able to attend church. The acting Undersecretary of the Navy issued a memorandum allowing sailors to attend services in person. Last week, First Liberty Institute and a group of chaplains raised concerns about restrictions that had been placed on military personnel because of the China virus. Services had been banned, but house parties and protests were allowed. Mike Barry, an attorney with First Liberty Institute, said the military's decision to back away from the ban is a major victory for the Constitution and religious liberty. During the Obama administration, the Pentagon became a hotspot for religious discrimination. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation once bragged it had a hotline to the Pentagon. Fortunately, the Trump administration is restoring the military to its faith-friendly environment, and one of the first things they did was disconnect that hotline. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, we have some seats left on our, a few seats left on our Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown Spiritual Heritage Tour coming up September 13th through the 16th. So if you want to go with us, it's open. Williamsburg is open. Jamestown's open. Yorktown's open. So we'd love to have you if you want to join us for that. If you're tired of sitting at home, you want to join us for a tour, we would love to have you. Go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. We also got a few seats left on our D.C. trip, which is that same week. September 16th through the 20th, D.C., Mount Vernon. So, if you'd like to go with us, check it out. We'd love to have you. SpiritualHeritageTours.com is the website, SpiritualHeritageTours.com. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
Well, I wanted to mention this because it's gotten a lot of shares ever since Fox News.
That's what we do here, right? Christians, we share.
We do. We share. Sharing is caring.
So we're going to share some more?
We are. I'm going to share this story. A Kentucky couple was fitted with ankle monitors and placed on house arrest after the wife tested positive for coronavirus but refused to sign self-quarantine documents. This is according to Fox News and WAVE. Elizabeth Linscott says she got tested for COVID-19 as a precaution because she was planning to visit her parents in Michigan. She received a positive test result, but showed no symptoms. She said the Hardin County Health Department asked her to sign documents agreeing to call them anytime she left her house. The young mother claims she never refused to self-quarantine, but said she would not sign the documents because of how they were worded. She had a concern about, what if I need to go to the ER? Like, do I need to call you first and get your permission, or can I go? That's why she didn't sign. Long story short, eventually something like 8 different people, 5 different police cars show up at her door, you know, and she and her husband are told they've got to wear ankle monitors and monitored and things of that nature. Now, this is just one couple in one area of the country, one state. But we have seen other orders or edicts from various governors. Governor Newsom recently said you can't sing inside church if I even allow you to gather to worship. We've seen it, you know, stuff all over the place. Are we seeing dramatic or over the top?
Have they said anything? Did Governor Newsom say anything about humming?
He said you couldn't chant. He said you couldn't chant in addition to singing. And the way it was
like
worded,
a Gregorian chant?
Right, yeah. So, and Jewish people, it's my understanding, some people that are of the Jewish faith, they do some sort of chant as part of their service. So it's not just Christians. But we've seen all kinds of stuff, including this Kentucky couple here that was monitored with ankle. I mean, like, what's your reaction when you guys log onto the web and you see these kinds of things?
This is an outrage to me. This is an outrage. This couple is getting an attorney. They said they're going to sue. Here's the leftist stupidity in always wanting to tell people what to do and not trust people to do what's best for them and best for their family, best for their community, is made evident by this case. Because you know what you know the lesson I take from this? Do not volunteer to get a test. That's what this woman did. She volunteered to get a test because she was going to go see family members. She wanted to make sure she didn't have it. When she found out she tested positive but did not have symptoms, that's when all this crashed down on her head. And so what the left is saying, we want to stop the spread of coronavirus. My lesson is don't get a test unless you're exposed to somebody who has it or you have symptoms. And that's counterproductive. It's counterproductive to what they're after because she volunteered to get a test and now this has all fallen down on their heads. And listen, if you can do this, all right, if you can do this to this couple, you didn't sign the document, so we're not going to let you leave the house. And to show you that, we're going to just about do everything short of a SWAT team at your house,
right,
put ankle bracelets on you, then why not arrest them? Why not take them into custody? Why not take their kid away? Mm-hmm. Where is the line where Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky says, I won't go past that line? Okay? Apparently, we have not yet seen what line government cannot cross when it comes to the coronavirus outbreak pandemic of 2020.
Yeah, that's good. And Kentucky couple one day, it'll be, you know, some other the next. This won't be the last time we see this. I actually interviewed somebody with Pacific Legal Foundation late last week. I do not have the sound. But this attorney, Daniel Ortner, made the argument that a lot of the restrictions and quarantine expansions we're seeing in like New York and New Jersey, Connecticut, a lot of that stuff is unconstitutional based on our constitutional right to travel.
Let me ask you guys to ratchet this up even another level. And this is Orwellian, I guess what I'm about to mention. So it hasn't happened, and I don't know if it would happen, but it makes me wonder. And now you're wondering, get to it, Tim. What's your point? Right? You've been talking about what you're going to talk about for a minute now, and now even longer. And that is this. What if there is a vaccine for the coronavirus, and the governor of the state says, I require every citizen of the state of Kentucky, for example, this governor, to get the vaccine before they go back to work or before they go back to, you know, mix in the public. I don't know how you would phrase that.
And you have to be able to prove that you got the vaccine.
You have to have a paper.
You have to have your papers.
To show that.
Tim?
Now, is there not precedent for this in the schools? Chickenpox or smallpox, whatever it is, I got
diphtheria and all
whatever
that.
It is, I got on my arm right now from going to the library with all the other kids when I was in third grade. Remember
getting
that those days?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Didn't they require you to have that?
Yes,
yeah, to have
they
that.
Still do. And the thing is, my understanding is the number of things you have to get in the no longer just one shot, I don't think, the number of things you have to get vaccines for continues to increase. Now, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, okay? I think vaccines, generally speaking, I don't want our Facebook page to light up, okay? It probably will. I personally, I'm not a scientist, but in what vaccines supposedly do seem to make sense
vaccines
to me.
Vaccines have saved millions of people's lives.
I think right. so.
Millions of lives, I should
say. But I will say there are concerns I have. I have concerns about the link to aborted fetuses. I have concerns with the potential for
how it's
something side
rushed
effects.
To market, though, yeah. like this would be.
Yes, this mm-hmm. would be rushed. I would more than likely refuse to submit myself and my wife to a vaccine that they have not tested.
Yeah.
And I think I would push back on any attempt to say you can't go out in public, you can't go to stores, you can't go to restaurants mm-hmm. if you don't have this vaccine, when I'm saying, hey, mm-hmm. you first, pal.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind, too, with vaccines, I had a feeling we might get into this a little bit. This is not pre-planned at all. I didn't tell anybody I did this. I went back 3 years, and I got different news articles on the efficiency of the flu vaccine. In 2020, at the beginning of this year, CNN had a story, the headline being, there's a mismatch in the flu shot, and it's not good news for children. Dr. Anthony Fauci, you might have heard of him.
When is this story from, what year?
January 14th of this year. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said, quote, it's not a very good match for bee flu. Okay, that's one example. In 2019, AP, the Associated Press, which everybody and their brother who can afford their fees runs, AP said vaccine no match against flu bug.
That's and 2019.
Then, yes, sir. And then in 2018, Business Insider had a story out that said the 2017 flu shot performed so poorly, proving itself only 25% effective against some of the nastiest strains of the flu. So even if there is a coronavirus vaccine, we need to consider the fact that it may not be that efficient.
Yeah, you're talking about a flu vaccine, which is the flu shot.
The flu shot.
The flu shot, which is offered every year across America. Mm-hmm. I've never got one, by the way, and I've told people, I will consider getting this when they rename it. If they will rename it the not get flu shot, I'll be glad to take a second look at it. But I'm not going to anything that says the, quote, flu shot. Okay, now, in all seriousness, I've never got the flu shot. I know people who have. And quite frankly, I've never, now this is just mm-hmm. anecdotal, personal observation, I've talked to people who have the flu shot. They get the flu. I know me, Tim, I never got the flu shot. I've had the flu once in the last 5 years, I guess you could say, for 3 or 4 days. So I don't know. And then you get numbers like you just cited.
Yeah.
25% success rate. I've seen 40% success
rate. It varies. Mm-hmm.
If you consider, how do you ever know, right? I guess what they're saying out of 100 people who got the flu shot, 60 of them got the flu anyway? Is that what they're
I guess that you're yeah. talking about the efficacy of the
yeah.
flu
yeah.
shot,
so,
rather.
So, but yeah, but I'm just thinking, you know, people are, you know, a lot of powerful people now, you know, they're really pushing the mask as the answer. Mm-hmm. And now, if they come along with a vaccine, are they going to say, hey, you got to get the vaccine, or you can't buy, sell, or trade?
Yeah, so this is something that I don't think we've ever seen in this country, what you're talking about. You must get the vaccine, or you cannot participate in public life. I don't think that's going to go over well. I've talked to people who said, not this first go-round. If you're not testing this thing, the FDA, and getting, you know, some scientific evidence behind so that we don't get a bunch of side effects, I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to be the guinea pig.
I do think probably 50% of America will voluntarily sign up should a vaccine come out, because they're going to trust what the health officials say, and especially if, but mandating it as a you know, as a with penalties.
That's a bridge we've never crossed.
I agree.
In this country, I think. I think people.
Or you can wear the ankle bracelet.
Well, the thing is, if you go to a store, are they going to? And I guess they could. If the government mandates that you have a pass, you have papers, then stores can say you got to show it. Now, if the government doesn't mandate it, stores can't ask for anything.
Yeah.
But the government mandating it is is a line we have never crossed
in
this
country.
We're not
there yet.
And I'm not sure that that is constitutional. There would probably be a ton of lawsuits and testing it in court. But we are getting to some scary issues looking at this Kentucky case when it comes to our liberties versus a pandemic that we may look back on and say, was the fear justified?
Yeah, I don't know that we'll ever get a straight answer on a number of the questions that we have with COVID-19. Numbers are all over the place. I actually I've interviewed in the last week a lady named Twyla Brace. She's a registered nurse and a president of a group called Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And she was talking about how in a lot of areas they're actually counting people that are so-called probable cases. These are people that haven't even actually tested positive.
I believe that.
Clip 4 here, Brent.
This could be very scary to people to suddenly see the case numbers shoot up, and they have no idea that the majority of them are these probable cases, which have never been confirmed to be COVID. And in fact, the probable cases, the definition of probable cases is so loose that somebody simply has to live in an area that has a lot of COVID, plus they have a headache and they have a fever, or at least they think they have a fever. They don't even have to measure it. And by that, they become a probable case and they can be reported as a case of COVID-19.
Now that again is Twyla Brace, a registered nurse and a president.
This is so confusing.
It really is. It's like drinking from a water
hose. I just say, you know, the virus is spreading, and it's bad news if you get it. For a lot of people, it's really harsh on your lungs. I mean, it's not. Yeah, it for a lot of people, it's worse than the flu because it causes them really shortness of breath.
Sure.
So it's real. It's real. It's out there.
I know people that have had breathing problems.
Yeah, but then again, you want some kind of accuracy in terms of what the numbers are, what they show, what the risks are. And you hear these stories. Fred told me one last week, that somebody he knew, that two people had gone to get tested for the coronavirus. They go, they sit in line for 2 hours, they get tired of waiting, they leave. They had to go because somebody at their workplace had it. All they did was sign in at the doctor's office, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 days later, they get a letter in the mail, or 2 days or 3 days, letter or an email, some kind of notification saying they tested positive.
And they never even got the test.
They never even tested. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, Fred Jackson. Mm-hmm. Fred tells the truth. It was somebody he knew personally that this happened to. And this has happened in other cases around the country. And what that nurse is saying, how do you lump a probable case and make it a – does that go into – does a probable case go into the stats? Is that what she was saying?
That's what she is saying.
Another cop. Huh, that's not right.
Well, no. It's not. And you have to – let's say I mean, how many of those cases, probable cases, are the numbers that Chris Wallace just considered a forest fire to President Trump on national television yesterday? It kind of blows apart that. We've already talked about how, and Deborah Birx, a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, who also a couple of months ago said masks give people a false sense of security. Now she wears one. But Deborah Birx had said a couple of months ago that people dying with COVID are considered as dying of COVID. And to some medical people, including Twyla Brace, that is a difference. Yes, you might not have been in the hospital.
Well, what is going on here, guys? I mean, I wish I knew more, and I will try to research and find out factually. We should all. the money. The old adage, follow the money.
Yeah.
So is there a financial incentive to somebody that if the numbers are go up, mm-hmm. somebody makes money off of it?
Well, my understanding is that the federal government pays for testing and treatment of all COVID patients.
Yeah.
So if you're our hospital, okay, now I'm not saying all hospitals do this.
Right.
I want to be careful. But if you're a hospital and you have somebody in mm-hmm. who's got heart problems, but they have COVID, and you treat that person, you get paid for treating COVID even though you were treating them for their heart. And if they die of heart disease, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Chris, mm-hmm. but this is what I think you were saying. If you die of heart disease while you had COVID-19, they can put your death in the COVID-19 numbers.
Yeah.
And because you died with COVID, not necessarily died of mm-hmm. COVID.
And just so people listening and maybe new to the program or whatnot, they're watching on Facebook, YouTube, what have you, and they're kind of thinking, well, you guys are taking a bunch of, you know, urban myths or something of that sort. I covered this with Merrill Matthews a couple of months ago, back in April. USA Today did a fact check and found that hospitals get paid more if patients listed as COVID-19 and on ventilators. So it's not just Ed Vitagliano's right. opinion. USA Today itself, the national newspaper of sorts of the U.S., not to say it's government-owned or anything, but it's USA Today, right?
I guess the people who are on the other side of are on the hospital side of it would say, well, it costs more money to hospitalize these people, so we get more reimbursements. Furthermore, we don't make up the number. The federal government sets it. We only tell. But we all know this with human nature, right? If you incentivize something, you're going to get more of it. And maybe the numbers are being inflated. People would say, maybe you really think so, Tim? The numbers are being inflated on coronavirus or COVID-19 because there's more money to be made by people if they have it in the health industry.
Especially since a lot of these hospitals had a decrease in income. I know they look
right,
at it differently.
Surgeries down.
Yes,
so
surgeries are down. People not going because they're afraid. Remember, 2-3 weeks ago, Florida, some hospitals in Florida got caught because they were reporting that 100% of those tested for coronavirus had COVID-19. 98% of those tested for coronavirus had the virus. Well, the local Fox affiliate went and pushed back on those numbers. They said, we want to see it. So the hospital went back and checked, and they found out that they had reported 10 times mm-hmm. the number of cases than were actually proven. So instead of 98% of those tested having COVID, it was actually 9.8%.
All right, how does that happen if they're not doing that on purpose?
I don't want to accuse people, but like we all say, you follow the money. And you know human nature, they are wanting money for coronavirus cases.
One of my sons knows somebody who knew somebody. This is a true story. The wife passed away of cancer. She had cancer for a long time. She finally passed away. Well, they had both taken cancer policies mm-hmm. out on each other. You familiar with that kind
sure.
of insurance?
Sure.
A lot of people have that kind of insurance, cancer insurance specifically. Well, she had COVID and died. And because she had COVID, the cancer insurance company wouldn't pay out.
I believe that. Existing condition or something?
Huh?
No, I guess they were
they
saying
said she died of COVID, not of cancer.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
She had cancer for a long time. COVID did contribute mm-hmm. to her death because of her weakened condition, her immune system due to the cancer. But when she passed, they put COVID on her death certificate, and the widower does not get any money from something they paid in for 20 years.
An insurance company?
Trying to beat people?
I'm stunned. I'm stunned by that. I'm sorry for all those out there who sell insurance who are listening. Come on, you know it's true.
It's not that what we're talking about is not funny.
No, that you're
but,
right.
And insurance companies, you know, they have to fight for survival and make money too. I know, and they do get a bad rap sometimes. I mean, I was canceled by a major. I remember Allison and I. This is 35 years ago or so. We were 5 years into our marriage. We had insurance. We had car insurance with a major carrier, a household name brand. And we had, I think, two accidents in 3 years, and two of them weren't our fault. Somebody rear-ended us, and somebody hit us in a parking lot, and one of them was our fault, and they canceled us.
Yeah.
They canceled us. It didn't matter that two of them were police ticketed the other person. Not your fault, and they canceled us. So, anyway.
And you have to have insurance. Get a car. I mean, depending on where you live, you have to have insurance to do this and that.
I'm just saying insurance companies, they're going to always look out for their best interest, but sometimes we do hear the horror stories where people are absolutely done wrong by insurance companies.
I mean, what's the dollar figure on 2 decades of premiums for something like that?
Listen, I haven't had a speeding ticket. This is the absolute truth. I have not had a speeding ticket since 1978.
Well, you just jinxed yourself.
I have a feeling that if I got a speeding ticket tomorrow, my insurance rates would go up.
Probably so.
That ain't right.
Follow the money.
I'm upset about something that hasn't even happened. My wife would say, it hasn't even happened. Yeah, but you know they do it.
That happens in your house, too.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got about 3 minutes left. What do you got, Chris?
Well, a lot of us are sports fans, and certainly we got a lot of sports fans in the audience.
Hockey starts August 1st.
That didn't sound right. Hockey in August.
No, it is.
Those two words don't go together.
Yeah, apparently, I think this may come as a surprise to a lot of people. The U.S. is going to actually get another Major League Baseball team. That's because Canada has denied the Toronto Blue Jays' request to play home games due to the pandemic. So the Toronto Blue Jays
have to play in Buffalo.
Major League Baseball is going to start this week.
So what do they do?
They're going to have to play somewhere other than Canada. And, Buffalo is one of the
Canada's kicking their team out.
Right. The only team they have left. Because remember, the Expos are now known as the Washington Nationals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Under Canada's Quarantine Act, any person entering Canada from the U.S. is subject to a strict 14-day quarantine. Obviously, that doesn't work for Major League Baseball teams. Right.
So the Blue Jays are going to have to fly south.
They're
going
to have to play somewhere at their.
I love that. You like the
way I did that?
I like that. Fly south.
It took me a second.
For the summer.
They're going to consider using their AAA home in Buffalo, New York, or the spring training base in Dunedin, Florida, if I'm saying that correctly.
What do they care? There's no fans anyway, so they don't have to worry about the seating capacity where they're playing.
Right. I watched a game. It was the Cubs game last night on ESPN, and Chipper Jones and some other people were part of the broadcast crew, and a lot of it was just, the host kind of giving each other barbs. Like, there was nothing.
Because they weren't at the stadium, right?
No, they weren't. They're all watching remotely. Chipper Jones was in
Atlanta. Oh, so they weren't even in the studio together?
Yeah, no. And they had a weird thing the other night. It was the Mets and the Yankees, and they were playing at one of the stadiums. No fans in the stadium, and they've got cardboard cutouts sitting in the seats behind the home plate. It was the weirdest thing you've ever seen. I thought, this is the idea of a third grader.
As a Braves fan, I wouldn't go to a Mets game either.
Duly noted. All right, we're out of time. We shall be back in 5 minutes. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Ed and I shall return with Steve Jordahl. We'll see you in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.